If you want to turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. A lot of my preaching is expository, so it keeps us in the context of what's going on. And also, I don't have to find a new subject every Saturday night, so it makes it easier and tougher at the same time. So sometimes you pass those hard verses and you got to preach on them. So we're in Philippians chapter 2, down to verse 12. And we talked last week about verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Let us open up with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the word of God. We thank you that it comes alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. We just thank you that each and every day we can read the same verse over and over again, and the Spirit gives it life and brings new meaning to it, Lord. We just pray that this morning that the Spirit will speak through me and that we'll learn and grow together. And we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen. Last week we talked about working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And we learned that's not talking about that we work for our salvation, that we already have it. But after we earn that salvation, because we don't earn our salvation. But after we receive that salvation, that then we work to please him. Then we become a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can see in verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God who works in you. After you have put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Lord, he begins to work through you. He begins to work in you. He begins to work on you. And we are not alone in our efforts to serve God. You know, there may be times in your life that you feel lonely. There may be times in your life that you feel like you're doing this journey all by yourself. But you have the Holy Spirit there convicting and guiding and leading, and maybe even times that pricking you, convicting you. God is always there to help us along. There's two ways that he says in this verse. Number one, he says to will. God helps us in our desire and motivation to do his will. You know, and the older I get, the more I realize, but one thing I learned recently, if you have to justify something, it's wrong. We don't have to justify our answers. We don't have to justify the truth. The truth is always going to be the truth. It's good to defend it, but when you start trying to justify something, it's probably wrong. Many times in life, I went out to the bar last night because of this. I went out and did that because of, you know, I'm sharing the gospel or whatever it is that you're doing. But when we have to justify something, it's wrong. And he goes on to do. He says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. To do. He works right along together with us. We know that we still have human nature. We still have the human flesh. We still have our own agenda. But you can see in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. At your conversion, he begins a new work in us. He begins to mold you. He begins to shape you, if you allow him. He's not going to force you to do anything. He's not going to force you to become something that you don't want to be. But he begins a work in you. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. When we offer ourselves in service to God, he becomes our partner. He becomes our co-pilot. We're indwelt with the Spirit. You can see it in Philippians 4:13. He talks about it. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Ephesians 3:16 also. that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. But unfortunately, many Christians hinder God's work in them, maybe by their attitude, maybe by their lukewarm atmosphere. Maybe they don't want to know the truth. Maybe it's a lack of faith in God. God is willing to work only if you let him. God is at work in us, and it provides further motivation to work out that salvation, to work out our own salvation, so we can be the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ that he calls us to be. We want to allow the Lord to work through us. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We need to walk worthy. We need to be pleasing. We need to be fruitful in certain areas of our life, in some aspects. We need to be fruitful in every good work. You know, if every move you make, if you ask if the Lord Jesus Christ would be doing that, you know the answer. Everybody has the bracelets. What would Jesus do? Again, just say, if you start asking yourself that question, you're going to change a lot of answers that you fight. Continues on in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. After that, he says, for it is good which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. I woke up yesterday morning and I was in a bad mood. I don't know why. I don't know. It was just one of those days. Had a lot of things to get done and I didn't feel like doing any of it. Didn't really feel like studying. Maybe I shouldn't say that. But I woke up and I'm like, I don't want to do this today. And what happens when you begin to complain? The more you complain, the more things you find to complain about. But this is what we're called to do. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. And this ties back again to that verse. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. When we become a servant of the Lord, we need to get rid of the murmurings, the disputings. Because then we can be blameless and harmless. And again, it has nothing to do with salvation, but we're going to be held accountable. Look at Romans 14. There will be a day that holds us accountable. Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. There will be a day that each and every one of us, we're going to be held accountable before the Lord Jesus Christ, his holy, blameless, perfect, sinless life. And if you think of your life right now, if you say, yes, I've done everything the Lord has asked me to do. If you go meet him in the next hour, are you going to be happy with what you've accomplished? Is he going to be happy with what you've accomplished? It has nothing to do with salvation. We're all saved. We're sealed. We talked about that last week. We already have our salvation. But we will be judged for the opportunities we missed. We'll be judged for opportunities that we didn't share the gospel. We'll be judged for things that we didn't accomplish. We will all be held accountable. And we need to do it without murmuring and disputing. Israel didn't do much better than we do today. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The nation of Israel complained as much as we do. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 10, he says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for in samples, and they are written for admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. And he goes on in verse 13, but we're told that God is ever with us all the time. Verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. No matter what we're stuck in, no matter what situation we're in, the Lord gives us an opportunity to get out of it. Many times we use the excuse, well, I'm human. I'm going to fail. I'm a sinner, so just forget it. How about we start saying the Holy Spirit lives within me? The Holy Spirit can guide and lead me, and I can make the right choice. Because it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. The only thing murmuring is going to bring on is disputings. It's not going to help us. It's not going to lead us. It's not going to make us happy. Those that complain, those that cause problems, are the ones that are making life more difficult for us. And all we're doing is destroying the unity, the body of Christ, what the Lord has called for us. In Romans chapter 5, it talks about tribulations, and we can rejoice in it. Romans chapter 5, verse 3, it says that not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Do we rejoice when we go through tribulations? Do we rejoice when we go through hard times? Do we rejoice when we don't get our way? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Next time you go through a tribulation, try to rejoice. The Lord's trying to teach me something. He's trying to give me hope. He's trying to give me experience. He's trying to give me patience. He's giving you something that's building your character for 20 years down the road. Maybe you can lead somebody else that is going through that same situation that you went through. We don't understand it, but there is a plan for it. There is a plan for it. Look back with me to Philippians chapter 2, down to 15 and 16. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He calls us to become blameless and harmless, which ties back to that other verse, which requires doing all things without murmurings and disputings. It can only happen if we allowed God to work in us as we work out our own salvation. Allow God to strengthen us in his word. Allow God to change us in conformity to his will. We can see it in the world today. Everybody's staring at Christians saying, well, they do it that way. Look at the way they live. If we can become blameless, then they can't point fingers at us. 1 Timothy chapter 3 talks about being blameless, the bishops and deacons being blameless. But here in Philippians, it's talking about all believers to be blameless. We're all called to be blameless. And I believe blameless here even has to do with being sound in doctrine, understanding Scripture, understanding right division, understanding the Word of God the way it's meant to be laid out. Anytime the world gets rocky, we always want to try to throw prophecy into it. We always want to say, well, this is happening because we're getting to the end times. There's a video going around right now on Facebook about a guy that had a dream. And he thinks in November we're going to have all-out warfare. And it's causing fear and emotions. Prophecy is not fit for the dispensation of the age of grace. In the mystery program, we are here in the dispensation of the age of grace. There can be no prophecy that can be occurring at this time. We can't heal. We can't speak in tongues. We can't heal the sick. We can't, prophesy. Until the day of the rapture, nothing else occurs. We can't look towards the end. Yes, we know the world's becoming eviler. if that's a word, eviler. The world's becoming evil, more evil, each and every day. The Apostle Paul thought through his time the rapture was going to occur. But until that rapture occurs, there is no prophetic program being completed today. We have to be blameless. We have to be harmless. We have to shine as lights. We must be in the midst. We are in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. The Apostle Paul was saying it back then, and we can say it today. Look where we are today with America. We've become a crooked and perverse nation. We fit right into that scripture. But how can we change that? How can we help the world? How can we become blameless and harmless? We have to be that light. We have to be that light that shines before the world. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. Ye are all the children of light, the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. We have to be that light that he's calling for here. Ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. We have the truth here. We have the word of God here. Any other unbeliever is in darkness, and we're allowing them to go down that path. We are making the choice today to say, yes, I don't care about you enough that you're going down that darkness path. You have the light. You have the truth. We need to share so we can hold forth the word of life, so we can hold fast the word of life. We have to offer it to the world. You know, I was thinking of the Statue of Liberty. It's our job to hold that light now. It's our job to share the light. Showing the way, we can offer hope. Through all the different religions, through all the different world, through all everything, we have the truth. He goes on in verse 16, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Talking about the rapture. The day of Christ is the end of the church age when the Lord Jesus Christ will come for his church, the body of Christ. That will end the dispensation of the age of grace. That will end this mystery program. It will go directly back to the prophetic program. The day that we disappear, all prophecy will start to come true at that point. After that, the Antichrist will appear and the 7 years of tribulation will unfold. And God will finish what his program for the prophesied nation of Israel after the rapture. When we can begin to understand between law and grace, between prophecy and mystery, we don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be scared of somebody that prophesied something. We don't have to be scared of something that happened. And, you know, we don't ever have to be fear. The Lord doesn't want us to live in fear. He wants us to be sons of God, blameless and harmless. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll read a little bit about the rapture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. The Apostle Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. The rapture has nothing to do with prophecy. It was never prophesied until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Behold, I show you a mystery, which we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That is what we're looking for. We are looking for the day the rapture occurs. We don't have to worry about the tribulation. We don't have to worry about the end times. We don't have to worry about all that's going to happen. Yes, I know we're going down towards it. But we will be caught away. We will be gone. Our hope is in the rapture. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are already seated in the heavenlies. We are there with him. Same thing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. If you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross of Calvary, you will meet him in the air. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The rapture is being called out. We get to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. There is nothing that we can say, the moon is turning to blood, the sun stars are lining up, nation of Israel is coming together. There's nothing that we can pinpoint the rapture to today. He even says there will be no time or hour for the man to know. We don't know when the rapture is going to occur, but we can have hope in it. We do know that we won't be in the tribulation. We do know that we won't be a part of the just all the tribulation that will be on during that time. We won't be here for it. We will be taken away. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the rapture. We don't have to allow anything to, you know, we don't have to have fear. We don't have to live in a state of fear. We don't have to live in a state of anxiety. He says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. We want to be sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither I labored in vain. If we can fulfill this scripture, we know we haven't labored in vain. We have not run in vain. The Apostle Paul says, hold forth the word of life, that we can rejoice in the rapture. How are you living your life today? Are you blameless? Are you harmless? Are you using your light for good? Are you shining your light? Are you sharing the gospel? Are you telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ? If you look at 1 Corinthians 11:28, it says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Here at this time of communion, we take a moment and we look at our life. In what area of your life are you not blameless? What area of your life are you not harmless? Are you hiding that light? Are you scared to share the light? Are you scared to... It's between you and the Lord. But if you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, at this time you can be partakers of communion. Band, if you'd come up at this time. It's a time to take a quiet time, like I said, and examine your life and see where you are failing, where you're lacking. what we can do to change our life. If you'll pass out the elements. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Ernie, would you pray for his body? Thank you. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you sent your one and only Son. You sent Jesus Christ to come to this world to live a perfect and sinless life. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was crowned with thorns placed on his head. He hung on the cross for 6 hours for me, for all, for everyone. We just take this time to examine our life and say, Lord, how can I become a servant of you? How can I shine my light brighter? What can I do to become blameless in the sight of God? We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to worry about what's going on around us. That glorious hope is that rapture, that we will be caught away, that we'll be seated in the heavenlies. We're already there. We're rejoicing with you. We thank you for what your Son did for us on the cross of Calvary, that we could have eternal life. And we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.